Bonnie Gani, this is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, California, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, and a student of Kawita philosophy created by Dr. Marlana Karenga, and as well as one of the co-founders, me and Asar Jerry Jabal of the Black World Institute. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, and just let you know that you found your family in a peaceful place, and we wish nothing but to you blessings without numbers and all good things without end. We're going to get right into the show because we're in what we call demanding, difficult, and dangerous times from the standpoint of our condition and the reality of white supremacy is exercising political, economical, and military power that could lead to, surprisingly, many African Americans who don't think that what's going on is going to ever affect them personally other than just financial inflation. But we're going to deal with this tonight. And all this month, the Conscious Corner is going to be dealing with politics. And politics and economics are enjoined because most people with money have political power, either from the outside or inside. And most people in politics seem, especially in national politics, I mean Congress, Senate, and President, just enrich themselves. And once they get into that money gathering and opportunities, sometimes they lose their potency when it comes down to serving the people. But we're going to get right into it today. It's very important. Ern, so I'm going to start with you, then I'm going to go to Mashinda. Much has been said about African-American political consciousness and political activity, Ern. What has been your experience with your neighbors, your friends, your family members when it comes to voting or when it comes to just keeping up with the politics of today? And the other question, if you can remember it, is what is your definition of politics? Go ahead.
For me?
Yeah.
Well, to me, I always thought, just like today I was reading in the paper, and when Trump putting his National Guard and all, you know, in California, he has still got him and in D.C. And then a judge said today, well, that's illegal for you to be doing that. You know, but then he's gone. You know, they got the courts packed with most of the Republicans appointing them, getting them in there. So he's challenging that decision that the judge made and trying to get it overturned. But in the meantime, they're still here. So to me, you know, politics is, it just looks like it's whoever's in power, you know, is calling all the shots, you know, and they're disregarding the Constitution, just overlooking that. You know, he thinking he can make an executive order and then bypass some 200 or 300 year old document that we got that all of us are living by and being governed by, and then he's just railroading right over that. You know, so to me, you know, and then that makes you kind of wonder, well, wait a minute, you know, so he'll probably get the next judge to overturn it. But problem is, you know, when this judge say, hey, that is illegal, they should get them out of here right away. There shouldn't be, they'll linger around and fighting this thing in court back and forth. And in the meantime, they're still here intimidating people, you know. So to
Yeah,
me,
well, aren't you? Well, how would you? What about your relatives, friends, people close to you? How political conscious and participant, their participation in electoral politics?
well, they, you know, because like my dad had always got us, I've been voting since I was 18. You know, I try to read the issues and stuff, and I always remember to vote. And then I got my kids into that, you know, as soon as they hit 18, man, they headed for the ballot box because I said, because, you know, you can't take the attitude, well, if I'm not going to vote because it's not going to do any good because you don't know, you know, because I experienced that when D. Andrews, my buddy, was running for city council here. You know, we was got in behind him, and we was hustling people to vote. And I was telling people, you know, that vote, my one vote. I said, man, your vote will. And I come to this one guy's house and his whole family. We had like seven votes, and then he promised and swore up and down he was gonna vote, and he didn't even go to the polls, you know, because you can go out there and look at the list and see who appeared, you know, because they check off the people that come and vote. So I know he didn't, and he and I see him today, and he, oh yeah, I voted, and he's lying up and down, you know. But and then I didn't get that, and then what happened when that first ballot, when D ran against Laura Richardson, he lost by I think it was five votes. And then this guy here would have pulled us over the top, you know, where we could have won. But he didn't have no. And then what happened, we found out even the city, apparently they didn't, you know, they always gonna get their guys, kind of like this Trumpism. You know, it's either my guy or not. So they wanted Laura Richardson to be in there. So, and then we proved to them we had a over between 14th and 15th Street on Gardena was in the 6th district. And we had 11 Cambodian votes because we went over there and got them all certified and everything. And then what happened, somebody drew the election map wrong, and they left that, put that district in another di instead of the 6th district, they put it over in the 5th, and it was not supposed to be so. And we even pointed that out and had certifications and all that, but they ignored that because she still got in there. You know, she was in there for about a little over a year, and then they had she quit and went over to be the representative, you know, in the Carson area, and then and I'm an assemblyman, so she got that job, and then we had they had a, another re-election, and then D got in there, you know, and then he ended up serving 3 years of that term, and then 8 years on his own, you know, so you're one of the longest serving. But you know, I always remember that. I say all these people that telling me one vote don't make a difference. Well, I've had personal experience with that. One or two votes do make a difference, you know.
And Dia was one of the first persons in Long Beach history, and probably recently in California, that won his last term through a write-in. He couldn't be on the ballot. He had to get signatures, and he still won. So that was a good strategy. Mother Mashinda, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Brother Mashinda, I know you've been trying to educate the people down there and encourage them to keep up with what's going on in the world. What has been your experience with politics, and does the people have what do you think their definition of politics is? For
That's a
those
good question.
that, all
Well,
right, go
I had a conversation. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
ahead.
I had a conversation today with somebody, and when it comes to speaking of local politics, I was having a conversation about local politics over here in the communities. where you have, young brother, coming in, and, of course, the establishment was against him, because it was a changing of the guard, so to speak, And so, in other words, we had a majority as a people when he came in. And so what I noticed, since when he came in a couple over 2.5, 3 years ago, the council that I thought would have supported him, just based on what has transpired over the last 100 years. But I noticed that, the people collectively, well, not individually, really, that they have their own constituencies, but it's not even about their constituency, because their constituencies look like you and me. It's about the power structure that controls the political process in this local government. And it's been, and so when you have a young brother for the first time, a brother, period, a black person, period, coming in as the mayor, that disturbs the natural or the current order of things. You have things that have been solidified, have been constructed from years back, and here you come in there talking about we're gonna the good old boy days are over with. That's where he went wrong. Not saying that your strategies, but when you show your hand, it's easy for them to set you up, to counter you and all that kind of stuff. But the sad part about it, the people that I thought would be supporting that look like him, they showed that they have allegiance to the power structure, because that's what got them in. They it's the old politics, In other words, you got the strong mayor, weak council structure, and you got strong council, weak mayor structures, where he set it up to where he would be a strong mayor. He came in with young and vigor coming in, and intelligence at a very young age to come in, and but with the help of his, his, the council. But they proved that, hey, we're not going to work with him. This the eagles got involved, and not only that, it's all about their pockets. They get a little check. And so when you start, so anyway, it's part of that conditioning, this brainwashing conditioning that has transpired with us in these positions, And we had people prior to that who fought to get people like them on those councils in those positions. But, a lot of the people are dead and gone. The real fighters, like yourself, the people that kicked, what, and took names, and was bold with their presentation and their action. And so, unfortunately, and when it comes to the status of the political atmosphere around just the round period, where what I'm looking at from my vantage point, man, it's sad. It's really sad. School districts, city government, state government, you got some people with some heart. But the only problem with that is that when they redistrict, when there's a redistricting campaign, you're never going to be in charge. You're never going to, that's the whole goal. That's the whole thing. And so why do we allow that to happen? Well, the younger generations don't even understand gentrification, gerrymandering, redistricting. They don't understand those terminologies. You can tell them, and they're intelligent to understand, like, oh, okay. But as far as, all what came before they were born and what has transpired as they gotten older, man, they in survival mode or they stuck on stupid, or they own some other stuff. And when I say the majority, that's why when you had the last gubernatorial election, you had like a, I don't know, 29% voter turnout in the primary, you know? And they had a brother that was running. He wasn't expected to win, but it's part of, you know, it ain't so, you know, sometimes it's about winning, but sometimes it ain't about winning. It's about building, because we know where we at, but if we can build these numbers and continue to ride momentum, maybe in the next 2 to 4 years we can take over something. Not take over like we're gonna do something drastically crazy, but to be able to keep some of these civil rights that we have, some of these constitutional privileges that American, so-called American, is supposed to have, you know. So that's why they turning back the clock, and they did a great job at it. They did a great job, you know. I got to give it to them. They did a great job at dumbing down people. And so this is the barking time where it's kind of like, you know, like a full court press. They got the full court press on now. They D'ing up. They got the defense on and the offense. They got the full court press, and then they take the ball, and it's nothing you can do about it. Well, again, my cup is half full, not half empty. I'm not gonna give up and say, well, I ain't gonna tell nobody nothing. I'm not gonna participate in nothing. I'm not gonna talk to. I'm gonna stop coming on the podcast talking about this because it don't make no sense, you know. Because that means that it's dead after that, you know. But you mentioned earlier that we are in dire straits, and I was having a conversation with a 40-year-old who is politically active in her own right, but don't know who, never heard of Fannie Lou Hamer. You understand? But you know, it gave me an opportunity to have a 45-minute conversation with her while I'm at work, and reveal some of these folks to her and make her understand some things. So I'm spoon feeding her, and I do that. And this is a person in particular that I won't say I'm grooming, because I'm not grooming her, but I'm just she's just one of the people in my path that I have to, you know, enlighten. And so she was very receptive, but again, it's an uphill battle. That's all I know. It's a battle, and that's all. We traveling upward, you know. It's an uphill battle, you know. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's my experience.
All right, good analysis. Brother Roger Key, what's your experience in electoral politics, and how do you see it? Is it worth it?
Well, of course, it's worth it to get involved in what shapes your society. You know, the policies, the distribution of resources and things of that nature. I think that politics is should be a part of well, it is a part of classes, information. I think that it should be talked about more. It should be a discussion in homes. You know, every election cycle, when I was in my parents' home, my father would go over who to vote for, and if you asked him questions, he knew to answer them and help you understand what was going on. I mimicked that in my household, where, you know, when everybody got of age, we talked about who he was going to vote for. And if you don't participate, you know, how can you say something about it if you're not participating in it? I think Brother Mashinda was saying that it's a lot of people are ignorant to political issues, things of that nature, and it's set up that way. So I just think that we need to inform people, need to seek information, and it has to become a community affair for all that's involved. So
Why do you think there's a lack of political consciousness or participation?
many distractions. There's a lot of distractions that are placed in front of people, and they gravitate to things that don't make sense. A lot of people, whatever's popular for the moment, and then the TV. When you're watching TV or regular syndicate channels, they're going to put things out there that they want you to know. And then the people don't take a deep dive into reading about who's running for office, the different measures on the ballot. And they just they well it's it I would say that it is it is some exposure on television, but they're looking at what's popular. They put out there what's popular. They also put out there, a lot of hot criminal activity. So it's a lot of diversions, and you can get caught up in watching programs on TV and take your attention away from what you really need to be doing, and like getting educated. Like coming on the CEN show or the Conscious Corner show and participate in dialogue about different, issues and things. So it's a lot of distractions and diversions, and that's what a lot of people get caught up in.
Appreciate what all of you said, if I understand correctly. And each and every one of you had some excellent point. It's a challenge from the standpoint of our political science and education of what electoral politics is and what economic development is. And above all, what mating is. How do you get a relationship with your people? And when you say, I don't know what I just don't understand my people. I don't know where they're coming from. That means you haven't studied them, and you just don't know how to reach them. But politics, from some definitions, I taught it at Cal State Long Beach for many years, and I had to look at the different definitions and the different perspective by Haynes Walton and Ptolemy and Maulana and Lerone Bennett, and from a historical as well as a modern day standpoint. And we have a good percentage of our people that do vote. But I don't know how many of them that are voting are political conscious. Some people think voting is all it is to politics. But it's who you, as Mashinda and Ernest was saying, and you, Rashidi, it's about what you're voting for and who you're voting for, and are they in line with some of your views? And you're not going to get everybody to agree with everything you want, but are they close enough to some things? And sometimes when, even if they ain't, you got to vote because you just Gotta just go with what's going on and hope for another day you'll have a better choice. But we see politics, and especially participation in politics, is really your right to your rights, your political rights, as far as being able to vote, raise some serious questions about who we blame. A lot of people say, we didn't turn out a lot for Kamala Harris. We didn't, enough of our people didn't vote and things like that. That may be true. But the point is that this system really took away the value of voting to discourage people from voting. And they made it very difficult. They made it dangerous. Fannie Lou Hamer was damn near beat to death in a jail cell for just registering people to vote. James Meredith, shot in his driveway because of him registering people to vote. CC Vivian demonstrating in Alabama, going up against Bull Connor. Bull Connor hit him in the face, and he asked the question, "What kind of people are you?" You know what I'm saying? And you try to hold the people to their constitutional language. That's it, one person, one vote, nobody's above the law, and this is your opportunity to make change, and voting is this. So my point is that sometimes we blame the people for not being as politically active or conscious, but there are reasons. You understand? There are many reasons for different reasons for different people, but some of them fall in a general category. I mean, you could call it fear. You can call it a sense of apprehension, not believing in the system that it works or anything because of your experience in this country. But your political consciousness and participation is a tool and a weapon. It can help you build good things, good schools, good social services in your area, good law enforcement, good policies and good leadership and things of this nature. And it's also a weapon to stop people from imposing their will on you, because the whole purpose of politics is to pursue power, maintain power. You understand? The pursuit and where the pursuit of power of office and the pursuit of power, and the second is the utilization of power, and the third is three things that I said. First of all, pursuit, utilization, and then maintaining power, staying in office or staying. Whoever you represent, or whoever representing you, but you staying politically engaged to hold those that said they were going to represent you to be active. The stronger the people are, the more their ability to affect who represents them at the policy making level. Now, I was on Carl Nelson this morning. I couldn't sleep. I was sick and stuff, and so I just turned it on. And this brother's running for Congress. I forget what city, a state, city, and he's saying that our people got to get out and vote because we want to get jobs, we want to get affordable housing, we want to deal with police abuse, We want to deal with economic opportunities and things of that nature, and better health care and all of that. And so I called, I said, Carl. And Carl is on a first name basis. I said, I appreciate what the brother's saying, but every politician say that. And we're not the same. We don't vote from the same level as those that in the dominant society or the mainstream society, we have to vote from a different consciousness. And you can't tell the white boy and the Mexican the same thing that you're telling us, because they haven't been through what we've gone through, and their goals may not be where our goals are, although we can develop alliances and coalition. So I say, man, one of the issues is that you got to start a political education and participation movement and let them know that politics is a tool and a weapon. And that means from birth, you understand? Like Ernest said, his parents made him. So then he made his kids. Now, that's rare. That's a rarity. You understand? But his father was activist. And he realized the importance of participating in the system, even if you outnumbered, and even if you have a sense of hopelessness because you voted and people didn't do what they supposed to do, or the system found a way to get around that person. But my point is that how do you see power? Power, for the standpoint of in Maulana's book, he called it the social capacity to realize your will in spite of opposition. In other words, to impose your will on people despite their opposition. And that's power. That's one definition. And so what we're looking at now is how do we engage our people? I think Brother Ernest's strategy and his father's strategy is the best way. Every household, and I say household, because Ernest came on when mother and daddy was in the house. Today, many people are don't come up with both parents, and there's a lot of different reasons. Mainly, the drug epidemic, and we've had many drug epidemics, from barbiturate pills to angel dust to weed to heroin to cocaine, speedball, and crack. All of those were really sedatives. It's just like when you go to the zoo and you see the lion just laying there asleep. And this is supposed to be a ferocious guy, He sleep all day because they keep him what? Keep him loaded up with drugs and keep him, whereas he don't try to go at him, and he's just lethargic. So we have a lot of our people who sometimes they get it in a self inoculation of drugs and alcohol and things. Sometimes you don't realize the effect of those things when you're young until you get older and you stop. Then you say, damn, why did I ever start? You understand? And so, but the point is that the education and training and mandating, like Ernest said, my dad said, you had to vote. He didn't have no choice. As soon as you was 18, that's it. You understand? How many households do that? You understand? That's what these politicians need to be talking about, creating a movement, a consciousness, an educational and thing. And then you got to know what you're voting for, as Mashinda would say. You understand? You're going to vote. You end up voting for things against your own interests. You understand? Because you didn't read the ballot. You didn't read the information on the thing. or you just didn't understand, so you just marked whatever you could. So the point is that you didn't even know what the major issues were. So, but the most important political processes are local politics, because that's what affects you every day. And in each level is different. Like a school board is very important for educating your children. But one thing I learned when I was on the school board, 80 to 85% of our time was dealing with contracts with the school to provide food, milk, and unions and security, a job, people appealing, they're being terminated or laid off. You never really dealt with the student or the curriculum. I remember Lynn Dimony said once I got on the board, she said, and I brought up the students and things. I said, this is the first time we're talking about students. And they've been on the board for years because they got on there to use it as a stepping stone. And they really risen into being a real representative of the students, even though that's what keeps the schools open, and that's how their schools grow through ADA attendance. And they never even dealt with truancy till I got on the board. And so the issue is that's one level of politics from the educational standpoint. And should you had the power to put political science in classes starting in Head Start. You understand? I mean, we were the dominant ones on the board. We had two lawyers, one supervisor, one sergeant police, who'd been there 30 years, the daughter of a congressman, she was on the board, but they never thought about, well, we got to start educating these young people because they're gonna be future parents, and maybe they'll be like Mr. McBride, Ernest McBride Sr., and get a political education and consciousness. But it's a thing when you have people like Mashenda said. He talked to somebody they never heard of Fannie Lou Hamer, who started the Mississippi Freedom Party. A third party, a Democratic Party. And people don't even, I mean, this woman sacrificed her life and challenge to provide the importance of participating in politics. And here, grown people, because they never took black politics classes, sometimes they didn't have them. When Ernest was in school, they didn't have them. And then if you don't have the right person teaching it, it's like you got to not only implement the class, but sort of influence what is going to be taught. You understand? In the class, as far as the value of voting, the importance of knowing your local politicians and policy, and that politics affect every aspect of your life, from employment to the standpoint of health, and to the standpoint of you understanding to get even putting in more vocational classes, whereas they don't have them like they used to. We used to have metal shop, electric shop, and wood shop, and all of those classes, agriculture, ceramics, drafting. Yeah, all those skill development classes, they're all gone, giving way to a mandate for preparing students to take tests. And based on that test determines if you get more money or not. They even bonus tied the teachers who class get the highest scores on tests. So we're test driven now. And I say you can do both. You understand? You do both, but you got to have that vision and have that support. Now, school district, the lowest aspect of politics sometimes are people on boards like the water board and the mosquito abatement, all those type of boards that people run for, or being a part a delegate to the main party and things of that nature. But those are the lowest level, and just the lower. The second is the community college board of trustees, depending on how big your community college district is. L.A. got almost a junior college on every corner, you understand? And so that would be it's more expansive. But people run for these offices to get notoriety or to get a little stipend that they give you, but they really, and to run for another office. So the besides the abatement and those boards and commissioners and things of that nature that you elected to water district, those are powerful districts because they deal with contracts and they deal with a lot of money that comes into the community, repiping, who's going to do the repiping, and that's a lot of contract, and people don't understand that, that's important. But at the same time, the next level is the school district, from the board and commission, and then the school district. And, I mean, the community college is the lowest level, especially if it's just one community college. Like Compton College had its own board of trustees, you understand? But from the standpoint, they were part. The Department of Education controlled all education, private, parochial, whatever, even homeschooling. The California Department of Education controls that. And then at the same time, you know, you have some political positions that are appointee and some are elected. And some are just selected. But the point is, you got the water commissioners and mosquito abatements and commissioners for various aspects, and depending on what your city needs. Like,
go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, like I was saying, so even though these low level commissions you think aren't active, but they deal with contracts and they deal with lobbyists and people trying to get the contracts and have, you know, and people giving them inside, people on the commission giving people inside information for a political a contribution for the next office they're going to run from. And so it'd be a lot of things that go with politics. People take advantage of it. And the same thing with the school district. I mean, you got milk contracts, you got maintenance contracts, you're dealing with unions, you're dealing with the California Teachers Association, and then the local union. And it's all about legal affairs. You have an attorney. You have an attorney in the meetings with you. I remember Melanie Lomax was our attorney at Compton Unified School District, and her father was Lomax, who was a very controversial TV personality at one time. But the point is that it's all about money and businesses, and you'd be saying, what about the people? You know, when we gonna get to making things better for the people, then you got what they call glad flies that they just come to the school board meeting just to cuss you out and just to argue. They ain't got nothing to say, but nothing better than that. Of course, it's everything you do and then complain, complain. And some of them don't even have kids in the school, but they just come up there and just start just talking and rambling and things of nature. So you deal with a lot of issues. But the cool thing about it is that local politics is the most essential politics, because that their policies, as Mashinda would say, affects your everyday life with regards to life-giving and life-saving goods and services, and administration of justice. You know, when you have local politics, you control the police because you hire the chief. You understand? And then you're dealing with taking out ads and preparing for graduations and all of those things. But I remember I went to the assembly, the California State Assembly. I went there a couple of times. And the thing that I noticed, because they're in this big hall and they all got little stalls that they vote in. And right outside there, they have a little, like, not a fence, but a rail to keep people out, but you can stand behind it and watch what's going on. Nothing but lobbyists. And they send a car over there to a politician to either, you know, for him to call them or them to come over there so he can set up a meeting. That's all you see. If you go there today in the California Assembly, that's all you're gonna see. And what they deal with is state organizations, the California Nurses Association, California Teachers Association, statewide organization. You understand? And sometimes what you would call major unions like the AFL-CIO and SICU, whatever that is, all of them, they'd be down there, you know, trying to get policies in, trying to save people jobs, trying to block issues that they think is harmful to them. And that's what them politicians be doing. You know, that's why they want to be on a state board. Very seldom do you have a person that run for state office that's in office that have fundraisers in the community. You know, they just don't do that because they get their money from lobbyists and they get their money from interest groups, pressure groups, like the American California Medical Association. You know, all these, when you put California in front of it, that means it's statewide. You understand? And so that's very important. And then when you go to Congress, okay, in the assembly, you run every two years in the state. But if you're a state senator, I think you get 6 years, but sometimes four to 6 years. And so you have a little bit more time to chill out and you have more power. Like there are always going to be more Congress people. Like there's 400 some people in the United States Congress, but there's only 100 and some senators because each state get two senators, you understand, that they recognize as a state. And now California, although it's twice as big as many of the states that have two senators, all California get is two. You understand? But you got to run statewide. The whole state vote for you, Northern California and Southern California. You understand? And so you got to get a good name for yourself or be endorsed by people from those areas. And you have to have money. Because to get to people, to get to know you, that generally takes two things: a good mail out, informational mail out, what they call mailers, and television and radio time. And all of those are expensive. Could you imagine sending a flyer or information about you to every registered voter in California? How much that would cost? And then if you want to put up signs, you have to go down there and buy the sign and then pay somebody to put them together and then try to get people to put them in their yard. And then you try to put them on posters, or telephone poles, or at the corners, and people take them. You understand, your opposition come by that night and knock down all your signs. It's a vicious game. It costs you money. You understand? And then, but when you get to Congress, you're talking international businesses now. Foreign money and foreign interests. Major companies, they got companies in foreign countries, and they all pay big money. Why, Maxine Waters, she's a multi-millionaire. She's been there over 30-something years. You understand? Won't leave it. You understand? She's 85 years old. You understand? And she's been in politics for years. You know, not just in Congress. She's been in Congress over 30-something years. But before that, she's on school board. She's on the assembly. And she's a state senator. You understand? She formed this group, the Women Forum, the Black Women Forum, and and they boosted her into office, and she never left. And she never trained nobody to take her place. You understand? Not even her own kids. You understand? She run them from office here and there, but not to take her place, because her thing, even though she had 2 years. Each year she got to run. Once you get elected and you get to make the relationship, and the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, they give you a bunch of money and they give you an endorsement and they make sure your name is out there. It's hard for people to beat an incumbent. But so that's why political science education is so crucial. You understand? In this day and age, and when we're dealing with Trumpism and conservatism and white supremacy, it's very difficult for young people, especially the average brother and sister, who's just trying to feed their kids, take them to the movies or to a theme park every now and then, and they be tired. You understand? You know, working. Are just sometimes angry because they are not doing as well as they thought they should be doing, and the cost of living constantly going up. You understand? So they're not really into, I ain't got time for no politics. You understand? I'm trying to feed these kids and give them more than they need. I mean, greed and envy is the fuel that fuels this society. You understand? If your neighbor get a new car, sometimes you go get one. Your neighbor get a pool, you get a pool. I mean, it's envy. You understand? And greed. Sometimes most of us live beyond our means. You understand? You know, I mean, some of us got clothes we ain't gonna never wear again. You understand? We got stacked and packed. You have to go through your refrigerator on trash day because you didn't let food stay in there so long you didn't cook it because you was eating out. You understand? And it's expiration day where other people, I mean, it's a lot too. You have to navigate and let people know what they're going to go through to distract them, to keep them on track. You got to have a sensitivity. Like Machinda. When he talked to his people, he can talk not only from his education, but from his personal experience. You understand? When he talked to them young people, and he's way ahead of them. because he's in debt with people that have fell off their mule and couldn't get back on. And he's in debt with people that fell off their mule and did get back on the mule and turn out to be okay. It's a challenging thing. But right now, you see, that's why the system works so hard to not us, to teach us not to be interested in politics, put enough pressure on you. Just like what they said in South Africa, when they said, you're only paying these people $1 a day, you understand, for working. They say, well, if we pay them more, they'll buy weapons. They may buy some weapons and come after us. And that's the same thing with politics. If I let you get comfortable and things, this next thing you know, you educate yourself and you become more political active. But when you're trying to live day to day and you're living above your means, and the rent is due and the car note is due and mandatory car insurance is due, AAA is due, cable is due, all that's on top of rent. You understand? And that's not counting your utility. So you're living from check to check. America's a debt of society. America owes itself trillions of dollars. You understand? And it's not credit. There's no such thing as credit. What you're doing is buying money for somebody else to put up the money. And you're buying it through interest and payback. I hope you follow me on that. In other words, let me say, that's why your credit ratings is based upon how much you pay money back. It's easy to pay your car note back, they're repossessing. It's easy to pay your house note because they have to come in a foreclosure. But if you borrow $5,000 and you take it to the casinos and messed it up, will you pay that back? You understand? How you manage money is very important. People say, well, I got good credit. No, you got a good record of paying off bills. You understand? And that deals with the various agencies that provide your credit. And many of us at a young age don't begin the science of that. You understand? And we co-sign or we don't pay. And then it catches up with them. I got to tell young men, and I'm sure Michelle will tell them too. Say, brother, that girl you got pregnant, man, brother, you know you're going to have to pay for it. You understand? You're going to go try to get your check one day and it's going to be gone for child support. You understand? Because you can go to jail for not paying. You understand? And child support is based upon your salary, and them figuring out what it takes for you to have a place to sleep and eat a day to day, and then the rest go to that baby. You understand? So you thought, well, I ain't screwing her no more, and for that baby, I very seldom see the baby. She got somebody else and things of this nature. But that child support come get you. And boy, it's a hell of a thing. And most cats don't be thinking like that. You understand? Some of them for various reasons. But the point is that we're in a situation where political, in the political economy, is education that we have to give our children and give our people. Because they haven't lived the lives we live. Ernest is an encyclopedia of political activism because of his history. You understand? But it got to be purposeful. You understand? Our goal is still to seek liberation. They write these beautiful words in the Constitution, preamble, and Declaration of Independence and things of this nature. But they violate them. Just like there's a law against murder, but people still kill people. You understand? There's a law against trafficking drugs. People still do it. Well, because it's written down as your rights, your civil rights, and your human rights, don't mean people have to respect it. You understand? If you hope there's an honor system, you understand? But in many cases, like I said, greed and envy drive people nuts. You understand? Look at how Trump enriching his family. His son just made $5 billion off of crypto. 5 billion. You understand? His son-in-law got $2 billion loan, interest free from Saudi Arabia. Now that's highball. That's better than the lotto. Lotto just going up to $1 billion. You understand? 2 billion. You understand? They gave that brother on CNN $100 million. You understand? And his old voice didn't change. You notice that no Democratic persons talk about Gaza. None of them. They've not called what Israel's doing genocide. They've not even Maxine Waters. Not even the so-called leftist Bernie Sanders did. You understand? And the role of America in facilitating that genocide. Here's Menachem Begin saying he's going to move in to Gaza and displace all them people. And he couldn't do that without resources. And where's he getting the resources from? The United States. And what did Trump say? I like Gaza. This is a good place we can develop. We can turn it into a resort, a beachfront resort. To hell with them hostages. You understand? They're probably dead by now anyway. You understand? But people don't be seeing that. You understand? That's the same way they did the Native American. We're going to take you and put you on a reservation, buddy. You understand? God want us to have this. You understand? And so the struggle is a continuous one. But I reached out to Mike Gibson's office. He's a state assemblyman. They come on our show. They're going to call me and let me know, Rashi Key, when he'd be available. It may be on an off day. I told him any day to talk about this redistricting bill that the Republicans already got education, got ads out telling our people not to vote for it. And but they don't spend that money to stop Texas from doing it. And they were Republicans. And they got a whole bunch of money. I'm talking about money. Could you imagine already on TV how much that cost? Especially in the first games of football and things of that nature. They're educating the people. When they on TV and they in your house, they in your house. So we're gonna have to look at that. But anyway, trying to get Mike Gibson, try to get Laura Richardson, and I'm gonna try to get she's a state assembly, state senator, and try to get somebody from the governor's office to come and be on our Zoom and talk about the reason what position we should have for that redistricting vote that's about to come up. Because they're framing it that you don't want to change do di redistricting in the middle of the year. That generally comes every 10 years. And you lose your independence. But anyway, Roger Key, what's going on tomorrow?
We got Dr. Ife Jai, Dr. J, Professor J. The topic is hip hop mass production of negative messaging. Basically, who's to blame, the industry or the artists? Or maybe both.
Both, yeah.
So that's tomorrow.
All right. Like I said, this week we're going to be going through political education and the political strategy
Right.
that's going
Yeah.
on all this month. All right, Roger P.
All
We just
right.
trying to do that
Each
within
one teach
WSU.
one in Conscious Corner.
And again, thanks, Ernie,
Continue.
for calling and checking on me.
Who's
You muted. I didn't hear.